This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 553, Why Difficult Part 3 Questions Are a Good Sign.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show.
Today, you'll learn how the examiner chooses your questions in part 3 and why getting really tough ones means you've already performed at a high level.
Hey, Jessica, what is happening on the West Coast?
Oh, what's happening? It's sunny, but it's still freezing. Oh. So I have it's sunglasses and gloves weather. Let's describe it like that.
Okay. Sunglasses and gloves. Not so bad. Not so bad.
It's not so bad. No, yeah. Could be worse. What about on the East Coast?
Well, as I look out my window right now, to be honest, it's gloomy and gray and a little rainy. But I do feel really hopeful about spring. I've been smelling spring in the air. We just had Easter. We did a little Easter egg hunt with my niece on Sunday. That was super fun. And, she had her Easter dress on. It's I can feel spring is coming. So it's good.
Totally. I love it. Well, she's super excited to find all the eggs and stuff.
Oh my God. She's so excited about the Easter bunny. Aww. She talked about the Easter bunny all day.
Awesome. That's so great. Yeah. I love magic. I love just that kids can believe in magic.
I love it.
And it's real for them. I want this phase for James to last as long as possible.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
Oh, it's the best. Okay, so we were written to by a student who definitely is not in our course. I think this would be cleared up if we're in our course, because we tell you exactly what happens on the exam, exactly what the examiners do and say at all times. Mm-hmm. So this is a really good case, guys, of having one tidbit of truth, and then it's spun out on an IELTS forum or an IELTS website, and it becomes some weird IELTS myth.
Yeah, we see this a lot. I mean, this is a danger of just trying to prepare by yourself by bouncing around between forums and blogs and free plans, that kind of thing. It's a danger. And that's why when you get into our course, it's so easy because you can forget about all of that.
Exactly. And we hope that you do, because having conflicting advice like this, it doesn't help anyone. I mean, that's what you're doing now, right? Is getting conflicting advice from all these different sources, and then you have no idea who to trust. But guys, look at the scores that our students get. You can trust the system and just stay in it. Just stay in with us. We have all the answers.
Totally. So should I read out the question and then we'll kind of debunk the myth and take what's true?
Totally.
Okay. All right. So here we go. So here's the question. I've been hearing on some sites preaching to know all about IELTS that the examiners don't give a score for part 3. We're talking about speaking. Here is a quote from one such site. In the IELTS speaking test, the examiner will judge your speaking ability from parts 1 and 2. And then when you get to part 3, he will make the questions more or less difficult. So although there are no points awarded in part 3 of the speaking test, it is important. I think a lot of candidates are confused about this. So please shed some light. Thanks.
Oh my God, that is so confusing. Guys, what? Why would you not be scored on part 3? Why even bother? Okay, so no, let's just... First of all, okay, I understand where this myth is coming from. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happens in part 3, guys? The examiner will have 3 different groups of questions to choose from, with increasing levels of difficulty, right? Mm-hmm. So the first group of part 3 questions are kind of easy. Second group, intermediate. Third group, really hard. Mm. So based on your performance in part one and part two, in the examiner's mind, she or he is thinking like, okay, I think they're around a 6. I think they're around a 7, mm. right? You're not judged part by part. The examiner isn't writing anything down and assigning points at every part. No, the examiner only thinks about your score at the end of the entire speaking test. Mm. So you are scored about everything. It's an average of all the parts. Mm. But think about it, guys. Part three is your last chance to prove what score you deserve. So part three is really important. So how the examiner chooses to ask you which questions in part three, right? She or he will start with like one or two of the sort of easier questions. And then if they think you're a 7 or higher, they have to make you prove it. So they're going to ask you harder questions. Mm. However, if they think you're probably around a 6, right, or lower, they're going to stick with the easy ones. So that's the truth of the matter. And that's where this comes from.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Hmm. Okay. So how can we use this information? What does this mean for our preparation and for our understanding of the exam as students?
Hello, awesome IELTS Energy listeners. If you want to really impress the examiner and get that examiner in the mind of a 7 or higher right from the get-go, from part 1 to part 2 to part 3, get into our course, The 3 Keys IELTS Success System. Go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. Yeah, so definitely know how to accomplish your score for each part. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. what is expected in part 1, part 2, part 3? They're different. You're graded on the same things, though. You're graded on fluency and coherence, grammar, mm-hmm. vocabulary, and pronunciation. Mm-hmm. So you need to know, guys, what the examiner needs to hear in each part to satisfy mm-hmm. high requirements, because it's different. The questions are different. So in our course, that's why we divide the part by part, right? There's a whole lecture and lesson and practice about part 1 and then part 2 and then part 3 because they're different. So yeah. Like, for example, you need to know that part 1 and part 2 are more informal, easygoing questions. And you have to reflect that in your tone, in the vocabulary you choose, and in your pronunciation. Mm-hmm. You're going to be more expressive. You're going to use more adjectives and adverbs in part 1 and part 2. Mm-hmm. But then part 3, you're probably going to be a little more serious in your intonation, mm-hmm. right? Probably speak a little bit more slowly, because that's natural when you're talking about serious stuff that you have to think about. And also, you're going to use high-level linking words and high-level vocab. So just knowing, you have to know what is expected, and you have to have someone to ask that you could trust. I mean, if this person were in our course, then, well, first of all, they wouldn't have asked this because they would know, but they mm-hmm. could have come to me in the closed Facebook group and gotten the answer right away.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's just important that we understand exactly what the examiner is looking for, and then that we're very present. We want to be very present for each part of the test, because we don't exactly. know, our performance, as you said, in speaking parts 1 and 2 is going to determine how difficult that next question is, but you're not answering the question 3 for speaking part 3 during question 1. You're answering question speaking part 1. So just stay present there, right? We don't know exactly right. what's coming, but we want to earn that harder question by doing a exactly. better job in 1 and 2.
Yeah, and knowing that this is the case will keep you from getting flustered if you do get really hard questions in part 3. Because like, if you get a really hard question, then you know, now you know that, like, oh, this means the examiner is thinking of a really high score for me.
That's
and
a
that
really
should give
important.
You like a boost of confidence at that point, not like a scary feeling.
Yeah, that's a really important. I feel like that's the takeaway for today. It's like, you know, a hard question in speaking part 3 is not panic time. It doesn't, it right. means you're actually, you've done a great job up until now. And so now let's right. put our shoulders back. Let's sit up straight, and let's, you know, go into it with this confidence, because this examiner thinks that we might be a 7 or higher student. So let's be a 7 or higher student in part three. Yeah.
I think the way to handle that, guys, would be like, at that point, if you know the examiner's thinking of a high score for you, I think you could kind of relax a little bit. Yeah. I think you should approach it even more personally, like, because the question's going to be really hard. And the examiner knows that these are like impossible things to answer. So I think it would be perfectly appropriate if the examiner asks you something really hard, like what was a student, a student told me about a question he had, like, how does the past affect personal identity? Like, what? What is that asking? Ooh. So just be honest about it. I would laugh. I would be like, oh my God, I would never think about this. Let me think, right? And just sort of use it to show your fluency by handling these tough questions.
Oh yeah. And that would really like drive home that seven or higher. You know, you're using the kind of colloquial phrases that they want to hear that the examiner's not hearing from other students. I love that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And just show that you can handle it, that you can say something. And remember, we talked about this last week, like the first idea that comes to mind. It's true in writing. It's true in speaking. You have to say the first thing you think of, no matter if it's from a movie or your personal experience when you were 10 years old. Whatever comes to mind, that's what you talk about.
All right. I love it. Really good advice. This is really interesting. We've never addressed exactly this question before.
Yeah.
And I think it's good. I think that's the takeaway for today. I mean, your performance in parts one and two will determine how hard the question is in three, but don't panic because it seems like a hard question. That might be a good sign.
Exactly, exactly. Welcome it with open arms. And ooh, here's a good word. Aplomb. 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 Oh. Aplomb.
That's a new word for me.
How do you spell A-P-L-O-M-B? Oh, come back to the blog, guys. This is episode 552. No, this is episode 553. Come back to the blog post, guys. I will explain what that word means. And spell it correctly in the post because it's really good.
Awesome. And remember, guys, for this student would never have had a question like this if he had been in our course because he would have known the answer. Right. And exactly. That's the beauty of being in the course. You don't have to jump around and follow rumors and myths that take you in the wrong direction, right?
So, yeah, exactly. So don't keep searching. Don't come across information like this that could ruin your score if you think part three doesn't matter. That is so weird.
Oh, my gosh.
Just get into the system that works, guys. Go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS.
All right. Awesome. We'll see you back on the show tomorrow, Jessica. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. All happy spring.
Yeah. Happy spring. Happy April. All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.